So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Thank you to Westwood One. Houston Texans beat the Kansas City Chiefs 20-10. This was a team who has ended the Texans seasons in the playoffs, but now it looks like the Texans have ultimately ended the Kansas City Chiefs' run of playoff appearances. It's been a heck of an era here for Kansas City, and I have no doubt they'll be back. But, Pearl, all these close losses have just come back to haunt them, finally.
Yeah, I guess football gods or something. I can't believe they're gone. It's just weird. So they've been in pretty much every Super Bowl except for that one where Joe Burrow came back from a 21-3 deficit to beat them. I think that's really interesting for the AFC. That's all I'm going to say. Really, really interesting.
Well, a couple boogeymen are out. Kansas City, obviously number one for the AFC, but the Bengals basically getting eliminated yesterday by the Bills.
Yep.
With Joe Burrow alive, you never know what's going on. And the Ravens. The Ravens are on life support now, a little bit better shot. They have to beat the Steelers at the end of the season. But yesterday, the Ravens dropped that one at home, you know, in Baltimore, where you're hoping that's where you would be able to get your win if you ultimately needed a split. And no playoffs, like no Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar.
Yeah.
You know, to me, as the Bills fan here, I'm like, this is no excuse for Josh Allen. But I look at the Houston Texans like that is a team that would be very hard to beat.
Yeah,
they look
absolutely.
Great because of that defense.
I mean, their offense is pretty mid.
Yep.
So, again, it feels like almost everybody in the AFC has some flaw. I mean, sign me up. If it's a Green Bay Jacksonville Super Bowl, that is, let's go.
It might be.
I think New England, Denver, Houston, obviously your Buffalo Bills, they all can look at this playoff field and say, yeah, why not us?
Yeah, but you know, I think it would particularly sting. Not to make it about Buffalo and Josh Allen, that was a really big win for them, but it would particularly sting for the Bills if they can't get to the Super Bowl in a year when all of your biggest foes up to this point are home. You know, to not have to go through Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, to not have to have a game come down to the wire with the Ravens, you know, to not have to face Joe Burrow, who plays excellent in Buffalo outside of two bad throws yesterday that handed the game back to Buffalo. Burrow was amazing. In the snow yesterday. So, you know, to me, that would signal a real missed opportunity, you know, for Drake May or Bo Nix, one of these really young guys, or even CJ Stroud, still super young, to get through to the playoffs. Because I think the Colts now are effectively done.
Oh, absolutely. But you do have the Texans and Jaguars. I know the Jaguars, no one's taking them seriously. But if their defense plays well, you know, there's a chance. One thing that's good about the Jags is Travis Hunter going out for the season apparently makes no impact because he did not impact winning in any way because he doesn't have a position. I'm sorry. It's just true. I'm like, hey, are they better without Travis Hunter? Because they don't have a guy who's trying to be in both sides of the building and during a week. Like, anyway, that's funny that they look much better than they have all season. They've been pretty consistent lately.
They have. The one thing still with them, the defense has been good all year. Now the offense seems to be catching up, but and Brian Thomas is back. But the penalties, oh my gosh, it's an undisciplined team.
They can definitely run the ball, though. That's what's interesting. You look at all these teams, Denver, New England, like they all have strengths.
Yep.
And then they all have weaknesses. And then the funny thing is we're just not used to any of them because it should be Kansas City.
Nuts, just nuts. But, you know, it'd been trending this way. And now they're going to, Kansas City's going to have some interesting choices to make this offseason. Obviously, Kelce looks like he's pretty much done. I still think Steve Spagnuolo is doing a hell of a job. Chris Jones looks amazing. They lost Trent McDuffie yesterday to injury, but I mean, they still have all the offensive weapons. Rashee Rice got absolutely annihilated. I mean, just the physicality of Houston is the best outside of Denver, probably. I mean, the Rams defense, I'm just talking about the AFC. Denver's defense is ferocious. Obviously, you know, the Browns are not a factor, but their defense is hard-hitting. But I would say Houston and Denver, their defenses, as far as the AFC is concerned, are tough. And by the way, New England's defense is very tough, and they showed that against the Giants the last time we saw them.
Well, that doesn't count.
But they were, like, putting guys out in stretchers. It was bad.
The Giants could just try to walk through a door as an injury risk. I agree. Houston really hits. Mahomes, because the Kansas City offense is completely messed up, had to put that hospital ball up. He didn't want to do that. That play completely blew up. And he made a magical play. So there was just something completely off about Kansas City. And they should have won that game last night. They were trending. They were down 10-7. Should have probably gone in for a touchdown that drive to go up 14-10. But they keep missing little things, which they never did during this run at all. It's the little things that are destroying them.
Yeah, it's true. And Andy Reid's getting roasted because they went for it on a fourth and a healthy one.
Desperate. He was desperate.
At the 30-yard line. I didn't think it was such an egregious call, personally, but it's not like they went for it on a fourth and six.
Good question. Ray. How come everyone is allowing Matt Nagy to get away with being a criminal as an offensive coordinator?
Nobody is.
No one's talking about
Matt
Nagy.
I would say
Andy Reid calls a play.
He was a head coaching candidate, and he ain't able to know more. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'd love to hear more about that, because he's been rooting that offense for like 2 years now. He's terrible.
But Reid. It's not. I don't think that he gets any of the shrapnel, because I don't think people believe he does anything.
What is Eric Bieniemy up to right now?
No, everyone believes Nagy does something. It's the other OCs who don't do anything. Nagy gets a lot of credit there. In fact, he was supposed to be a head coach about halfway through the season when Mahomes was looking great. People are like, oh, Nagy's going to get a job, but not anymore.
Mahomes looking great. He was the leading rusher on the team, and everyone's like, that's a problem.
Didn't he have like 17 touchdowns? He was the MVP front runner after like 7 weeks, remember? He had like 17 touchdowns and two
early
picks.
Early in the season, he was definitely one of the MVP front runners.
Yeah, he was playing great, and Nagy was like the guy, and something happened. I don't know what.
I'll give you, without looking it up, can anyone tell me for a dollar, where is Eric Bieniemy coaching right now?
See, was it UCLA? I know that. Oh, wait, I know.
Yeah, not UCLA. It's the pros. I'll just give you that. It's the pros.
Oh, I'm out. Atlanta?
I didn't know this.
He's like a running back coach for one of these NFL teams.
Is it the Commanders?
No.
No, he's gone from there.
He got fired from them. Is it Atlanta?
It's the Bears, according to the internet.
Well, I mean, he should be getting interviews. You see that Bears running game?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Kyle Manungai.
I mean, I know we give Cam Scadaboo all the, like, he runs like a madman. Manungai is the same way. I mean,
he's a beast.
He broke some guy's helmet yesterday. I mean, he literally is the embodiment of Marshawn Lynch run through somebody's face. I mean, I would never want to tackle that.
He's
guy.
Isaiah Pacheco 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, which means he's going to wear out in 2 years.
Exactly.
Same college program. Let's go to Sean, who's in Pittsburgh. What's up, Sean?
I'm a Steeler fan, so obviously I'm a Lamar hater.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to reach out to you guys. Every single year, I hear all of the sports media tell me how great Lamar is, how they're going to win the division, how he's elite. And every single year, he fails. Now, this is you guys' opportunity to talk about Lamar's failures the same way that you do his successes. Every single year I hear about Baltimore, and every year they fail. Here's my question. Who's your pick to win the AFC North division next year?
Baltimore.
I guarantee you'll both say Baltimore.
No, definitely Baltimore.
Pearl, do you pick
See what
Super
I mean?
Season?
There's my point. There it is.
Yeah, no, I pick it. Well, Cincinnati's going to lose.
Year after year.
But hold on one second. Don't point the finger. Look at the thumb back at your own Steelers. We'd love to keep picking the Steelers. You got a coach who never goes below 500. If you actually had a competent offense, most people would pick the Steelers.
And again, you're not talking about Baltimore. I want Lamar's criticism to match the praise that he gets from the sports media. If you guys did that, you would have to do day-long segments about Lamar's failure at the end of seasons.
But it's always in the playoffs. Everyone knows about the playoff failures. You're talking about something different?
I'm talking...
But the playoff failure
is
well
documented. Why does anyone tell the truth in the sports
media
about Lamar?
He's always great during the regular season, and he's been struggling in the playoffs.
Also, Sean, I'm going to be honest. Like, you want your pound of flesh on Lamar Jackson. First of all, you're proving that he's living rent-free in your head. Sorry, I got to let you go because it sounds windy. And two, if your team could win a playoff game over the last 8 years, we'd be talking more about the Steelers.
Tomlin,
something I never heard, guys.
What?
I never heard that Lamar Jackson doesn't perform in the playoffs. No one's ever said that on national radio or on television.
We only say he's got more. He and Josh Allen have the most pressure on them both to win Super Bowls because they have.
Yeah,
and Josh plays better in the postseason, but still.
But Sean's
that's
in
not
Pittsburgh,
a national
right?
storyline. Is actually like, have you been in a coma? Like I produce a national radio show where I feel like every January the same segment comes up. Lamar Jackson fails again. What happened?
Perlov thinks he can't play in the cold.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, and Sean's in Pittsburgh. I get it because Tomlin owns him. I mean, he just outright. I've seen red hot Lamar come into a Steelers game and just get solved. So that is exactly what's going on there, by the way. And he's got a hurt hamstring now. So Sean probably sees a bad Lamar and wonders.
But he didn't see him in the playoffs last year. They got steamrolled for like 300 yards rushing. Like
that was an anomaly because the Steelers had given up on the season. Because Russ was their quarterback.
They're in the playoff
game?
They lost their last five games. They were done. No, they were donezo.
Once you're playing in the playoffs, I don't think you're quitting a playoff game.
Oh, they had quit. The second they had watched too much Russell Wilson during that season, and they definitely quit. They let up 300 rushing yards. That was a quit.
His criticisms, part of the reason Lamar didn't get the MVP last year was because people were saying, we've seen this before. The writers felt like, all right, you've done this enough. Do it in the playoffs.
Yeah, every year.
That's true.
But that is true, by the way, about Mike T and the Ravens. Like, all bets are off when those two teams. I'm telling you, do not read too much into this. I still think the Ravens have a chance this year. They play in Week 18, right? If they're alive in that game, we will see. Because also, you should give the ball to Derrick Henry not just 25 times. Give it to him 45 times and try to wear out that Steelers defense.
Okay. You know what? Let's hold it for a second. Let's go to Ed in San Francisco. Just doing an on-air production meeting there. Ed, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great this morning. How about yourself?
We're doing good. What's your gripe with the College Football Playoff Committee?
Okay, first I just want to say I told you so about my Rams. They will be right back on top after this weekend.
Nailed
first
it.
And foremost.
Nailed it.
Yeah. My problem with this seeding is a disgrace. Florida State suffered something like this a few years ago. Notre Dame got shafted. I don't care how you line it up. They got shafted. You let an eight team of Alabama with three losses. The SEC seems to be, the committee seems to be biased toward the SEC. If you're going to let one of the SEC teams, why not Vanderbilt? Alabama, you got smoked in the SEC championship. You had two other losses prior to that. And you shaft a Notre Dame team with only two losses, despite the fact that they lost to Miami. You should have put them both in there. Let that rematch happen. The other thing I'm a little disappointed with is how Indiana beats Ohio State. They only slide down one spot. I think they should have slid to the number four spot, and my alma mater would have went up to number two or three, the Red Raiders. Mm. But other than that, I think that they need to start getting 880s from different conferences that's not involved in
Ed, you can't do it. There's no way a committee is going to be able to ever satisfy everybody. Now, Ed, you bring up an interesting point. Would this all have been better if Miami and Notre Dame got in and Alabama was out? Or, Pearl, maybe not Alabama. Maybe that's not your call. I don't see how the committee's biased towards the SEC when they have five teams in the college football playoff. But
they're biased against the SEC.
Against the SEC, excuse me. When they got five teams in, which is more than any other conference, obviously. But
I mean, come on.
Tulane and James Madison. I think that we all love an underdog, and we do like the idea of having this bracket open to everybody. but do we need two group of five
teams?
Well,
that's what happens when you put guidelines in there. If you just said, give me the 12 best teams, the more rules you put in, which they want a bunch of rules, the more problems you're going to have. They should know that.
Yeah, but it's weird because the ACC championship game, because Duke won, you couldn't put UVA in because in that conference championship game, the loser drops, right?
Right, and UVA would not have been in. I mean, they don't deserve to be in either.
Well, whatever, deserve, get out of here. But
no, I mean, so like, there's no case for UVA unless them being conference champion.
And, all right, but are you supposed to get penalized for losing your conference championship game, or is it not supposed to matter? We still don't know. But anyway, I think the committee was so worried about the potential ramifications of having no teams represented from one of the Power Fours. In this case, it would have been the ACC. That I think that came into play, EJ, for your Miami Hurricanes. Obviously, the head-to-head, you beat Notre Dame, but that didn't matter for a month and a half until yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was, look, if you're a Notre Dame fan, I understand feeling salty about what the committee did to you guys in terms of teasing you essentially for a month and a half. You should not be upset about the fact that you got beat out by Miami. You could have beat Miami on the field head-to-head, and none of this would have happened. But you got off to like a 17-0 start in that game, and you started slow in a regular season just like you guys do every year. So yeah. That's the one thing I don't understand from Notre Dame's side is Marcus Freeman, that was a report that apparently he didn't know what to say to his team. He just sat there and said, yeah, guys, I don't know. I guess we just got hosed. What? You weren't undefeated. This wasn't Mike Norvell having to talk to Florida State after going 13-0 and saying, hey, sorry, guys, I don't know what to say. We literally did all we can do, but they put a one-loss team ahead of us. No, you got beat out by a team that you lost to. How about you say, hey, you know what? Next time we learn, we got to come out much better. We can't be losing Northern Illinois like last year and think that we can get in. We can't start a season 0-2. The fact that there's no lessons to be learned for Notre Dame is ridiculous.
Well, two things could be at play. One, he could be thinking about taking that New York Giants job. That'd be number one. Or another NFL job. Or two, he's looking at going on the road playing Miami, facing A&M at home, and saying we lost both of those games by a combined 4 points.
Right, but it's not that they play perfect football. In the first game, I mean, both of those games, that defensive coordinator, Chris Ash, I mean, they wanted to draw and quarter him in the middle of a touchdown Jesus. Their defense was awful to start the year, which was bizarre because they're an awesome defensive team. They have great defensive players. But there was a reason why those games were the way they were. They could not block to start the first game, and then their defense did not play essentially for three quarters. And in the Texas A&M game, they gave up a million points, and they couldn't stop a running quarterback. That's football related. That's not, oh, we got screwed by the refs or screwed by the committee. You could have made a difference in this result. You didn't, and that's why you're home.
Truth of the matter is you beat a bunch of cupcakes and you lost to good teams when it mattered, when everybody was watching. You have to handle your business.
And here's the thing. They kind of have to schedule some of these. I think they have to schedule some of these bigger teams because their schedule is kind of weak. But I don't know.
Yeah, they're blaming the ACC. You're lucky that you got Miami on your schedule because that's the only reason why they played us. They don't want to play Miami year to year. Yeah. They prefer to keep these other Purdue every year.
Well, they go to Ohio State. They went to Texas A&M last year. They do try to schedule.
They only do a couple of those games.
Only a couple.
Only
I'll give you that.
One or two. Like, I mean, they had an opportunity this year. They could have stacked the schedule up way tougher. And to only put essentially Texas A&M as your only true non-conference game, because, again, the ACC games are out of their control. They signed a deal with the ACC, and the ACC gives them who they play. To not do any other tough games, you put Arkansas on your schedule, what are you doing?
Well, by the way, when did they schedule Miami? Because Miami wasn't before
the
NIL.
The thing is that it's not
like
even
Miami was average when they scheduled, probably like a 500 team.
Yeah, I mean, but again, that's the ACC thing. It's not Notre Dame saying, hey, we want to play in Miami in X amount of year. It's the ACC saying, okay,
oh, that wasn't a specific game.
They basically rotate all these ACC teams in.
Oh, that's how Miami came about?
Yeah, and then Miami is part of the rotation, just like all the other ACC teams.
So they only scheduled one tough game, Texas A&M.
Exactly, yeah.
And it was a home and home.
Right, and that's,
and by the way, Texas A&M was nothing either. What were they last year?
Right, they got lucky that Texas A&M was as great as they were. They should have won the freaking game. They beat the tournament.
Texas A&M, it was happenstance. You guys got what you deserved in the end. We got to call it what it is.
How about this? The irony is, say Notre Dame says tomorrow, all right, we're joining a conference. We're going to join the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And then they're going to play Minnesota. They're going to play Rutgers. Mm. They're going to play UCLA. They're going to play, and they're going to play all these crappy teams in that at Maryland.
You know what?
And everyone's going to complain.
You know, I think needs to change. I know there's a lot of things. I think we need to give her the group of five automatic qualifier. But I also think these conferences, they have to go back to divisions. I think if they go back to the division, we'll actually have a better idea. Because I think the problem is people are just looking at Oregon and saying, well, Big Ten, therefore they played tough teams. Well, no, they didn't. Yeah. Look at their after schedule. This Texas A&M, SEC, they must play tough teams. Well, actually, look at their schedule. They did play Notre Dame non-conference, but the conference schedule was kind of weak. Meanwhile, like Alabama and Oklahoma, they got ran through the ringer in the SEC. Like, the schedules are not the same. So if we go into a season saying, okay, I know the Big Ten East is not as good as the Big Ten West, they can then judge that when they put the standings together. But instead, we're just doing Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and just blanking and assuming that these teams are all playing the same teams, but they're not. Yeah. There's a five-way tie in the ACC where the top three or four teams just didn't play each other. Miami did not face any of the two teams that were in the ACC title game. That is just a sham. They got to fix that.
There's also an idea, I forgot who had this one, that your best team from your best conference, your best team from the conference should get sent to the championship.
Absolutely.
So, like, however you decide that, conferences decide that you're going to send your best team.
Right. So you're saying, you say absolutely. So head to head doesn't matter in that scenario.
No, I would say head to head would be the only thing that I would keep. I'm saying,
but
that
you just said the best team though.
No, what I would do, because I have laid this out, I know you're laughing. I think that head-to-head should always matter. But there are times, again, because these conferences are so bloated, that you have five-way ties, three or four-way tie in the SEC. But once that happens, the highest teams from the CFP, that should be the next determinator, and that's it. None of this.
Oh, so you trust the committee now?
No. Well, I trust the committee because those conferences want those teams in. Alabama's complaining right now. If Alabama, they would have did it how I say, which is to do it as the college football playoff ranking, Alabama wouldn't have played in the SEC title game, which, by the way, they didn't deserve. They were the fourth-best team in the SEC. We all saw that. We all see the ranking.
I don't think they wanted to play in that game. And obviously,
they would have put in that game if they could have, but no question. But the problem is the ACC, they would have preferred to have Miami playing in an AC title game. They put themselves through the ringer, not knowing if Miami's going to make it because they had no choice because of their own rules. But Duke, you think they want Duke in the tournament? No.
It's a fun game, though.
It was a fun game. and Manny Diaz's beard is great.
Yeah. Okay, we got to take a quick break. We got to get to the M&P 500. Whose stock is up, whose stock is down after a big weekend? We do it next, we promise.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Hi, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Every week we do stock up, stock down after a busy, busy sports weekend. Maggie, get us started. Stock up.
Okay, stock up for me this week has got to go to the combination Fernando Mendoza, Kurt Cignetti. This has just been unreal. Cignetti got it started last year, obviously, with Curtis Rourke, but now Fernando Mendoza has taken the torch. Just listen to how emotional Fernando Mendoza was after Indiana won the Big Ten championship.
Indiana, the Big Ten champs. How does that sound?
It sounds so beautiful. I want to give all the glory to God. We were never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, everyone we have around us, we were able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs. Let's go!
Flipping champs. I want a Hoosiers are flipping champs t-shirt, Pearl. I'm not even an alum or anywhere close. But Fernando Mendoza, stock all the way up, and won the Heisman most likely on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, now the real fun starts. Curious how Indiana matches up in this tournament. I mean, I would still think, honestly, that's almost a game you want to lose to Ohio State, because could you beat Ohio State twice? When you think about the challenge of that, it's a little more daunting. But I love him. I'm really excited for him. I love how crazy all these quarterbacks are now.
I mean, do you see, realize the swag that's happening between Mendoza and Cignetti? I mean, they think they can beat anybody. I think they believe if you put them on the field with the Tennessee Titans, they would win.
Go ahead. Now the Hoosiers are flipping champs!
Well, I mean, we'll see, yeah. I'll go with Matt LaFleur for the Green Bay Packers. There has never been a more satisfying end of game, sort of whatever handshake you call it. The Packers beat the Bears. Even though the game got close to the end, they kind of kicked their butt for 90% of the game. Caleb Williams pulled a few plays out of his you-know-what to keep it close. But at the end of the game, you know that Matt LaFleur has been stewing ever since Ben Johnson, the Bears coach, called him out before the season. And it's been kind of not a great year for MLF, Matt LaFleur. He's been way, way too conservative on offense. I think he's got a lot of criticism. Now the Packers look good again. And, God, that must be so fun to have to blow off the coach who called you out earlier in the season.
Yeah, and he did that thing where you shake someone's hand and then you grab the other elbow.
Kept it moving.
All right. Well, if the stock goes up, that means the stock has to go down. And in my book, I don't know if their stock can be any lower because of just the blatant corruption that appears to exist in their entire organization. But that FIFA World Cup announcement of the teams and who they're going to be playing just couldn't have been any more awkward. Everything about it, from weirdly giving like Trump a peace medal to then the announcements of who was going to play. And Wayne Gretzky, Pearl, the GOAT, the great one, representing Canada, needed a geography lesson.
Okay, we got the winner, Denmark, North Macedonia, Czechia, Republic of Ireland.
Macedonia? Maybe they pronounce it that way.
Is that a cookie?
Caraco.
That'd be Curacao. Goat. Curacao. Caraco.
Yeah.
He's the great one, though. So what are we going to do? He's not great for announcing names. He's just great for scoring goals.
Yeah. That was a wild weekend because so many people sent me notes about it. I knew the second I saw Macedonia, I'm like, oh, this is going viral. But then when I saw Curacao, I know I was like, oh, I gotta blow this up.
Yeah,
so it was really fun. Because everyone loves Wayne Gretzky, that's the thing. And everyone loves that he left school when he was like 9 years old. This is like the combination of all of that made for the perfect thing. I liked it. Actually, when it was Judge, Brady, even though Brady couldn't open the ping pong balls, Brady, Judge, Shaq, and Wayne, I thought it was kind of cool to see those four up there. I thought it was good choices of who should do it. I don't know. I didn't have as much of a problem with it. And I think the funny thing is how easy America's draw is. I couldn't believe it. Not knowing, obviously, the details of all the matchups. But I'm like, that's how USA has to get to the next round? Yes.
If we don't win this group, man, we should just fold as a country.
Oh, we might be on our way. All right. Pearl stock down.
Stock down. I'm actually going to have to go with myself. You guys can't see it now. If anybody's watching on Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube.
Yuck.
This is nothing. I had a gigantic purple thumb for most of the weekend. Because this guy, I'm not going to name his name, Serge, tried to bat back an offensive rebound. And I totally, like, it was a totally awkward move. So I threw my hand up to try and, I don't know, stop the ball. Bent my thumb back. Now this is now the fifth finger that I've probably broken playing basketball.
Broken.
It's definitely broken, but it's a thumb, so I'm just going to let it go. What are you going to do? I'm not getting surgery. I don't even care. What am I going to be, a professional quarterback?
Justin Herbert?
Well, actually, it's funny. I immediately thought, I'm like, I'm not getting that.
He's not throwing it.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers and Justin Herbert. Rodgers had like a massive cast on it. It's definitely broken, but I don't know. It's better that it's purple than swollen. Swollen's really dangerous. Purple is sometimes okay. You've had sprains, right, on your fingers, EJ?
I've had sprains on fingers. I still have this broken pinky.
Yeah, yeah.
That's still crooked.
What are you, Brian Baldinger?
I was going to say.
Basically.
You ever see my pinkies?
No,
they
thanks.
Surgically, both of them are just a disaster.
I did not notice until you just said, but that is a black. That is a shade of black and blue.
Yeah, and it's 50 times better than it was.
Is it painful?
No. It was this weekend, but now it's much better. So I can move it. So if any doctor's watching, like, this means I'm fine, right?
I think if you can move it, you're good.
Yeah, if you can move it.
Just
I mean,
don't tap
it's a rule.
Them.
It's a rule of basketball. If you can move it at all, you're good for next week.
Do you bother Dr. Rock with a thumb, or is he only knees down?
He only does
feet. But he's still a doctor.
No, he doesn't touch. Like, I had a major knee injury. It's like, it's not my. If it's above the Achilles, I don't want to see it.
I always kind of assumed that the big toe and the thumb just had so much in common.
Maybe not really. Yeah, no, I have the foremost hand guy, though. He's at NYU. I mean, he's. But even.
Are you in a weird pool?
He's hard to get a hold of. He is probably. You know, there are a lot of people hurt their hands. You guys know this, but his waiting list is months long.
Mm.
Yeah, hands is a. It's a big deal. Anyway, but I'll be fine.
The burns and dropping stuff. Yeah, I'm not surprised about that.
No, and then people, as you get older, there's a lot of things that can go wrong with your hand. Anyway, not to gross you out.
All right, so we have that to look forward to. Fantastic. Let's do another one. Stock up. I'm going to go Shedeur Sanders on this one. Browns lost the football game, but since Shedeur was not on the field for the botched two-point conversion, Pearl, I feel like he kind of comes away as a winner here. Big game in bad weather.
Yeah.
Shedeur played pretty well. Tied a rookie record that only Joe Burrow had before. So obviously looking like he belongs in this league. The Browns are terrible. And I think the head coach was okay taking a major risk with that two-point conversion and doing a trick play because winning is not that important right now for the Browns. High draft picks are important for the Browns.
Well, they only need to go for a two-point play. They had just gone, right? They'd gone for a two-point play before and failed. That's why they were down a point, right?
Yes.
Or was it a mistake?
They were
anyway,
still chasing.
I watched the beginning of this game, and I'm like, oh, my God, Shedeur's playing great. This is so cool. Then I went away for a while. Then I'm like, oh, my God, the Browns are getting demolished by the Titans. What is happening in
Titans
this game?
Titans run game took over.
I couldn't believe it. The Titans don't win games. Even if Shedeur was bad, like, that's not in the Titans' DNA. or even if the Browns screw this up. I couldn't believe the way that game played out. I figured the Browns were going to roll them. Remember, that was my best bet. I still don't understand how the Titans scored 31 points on a cold day in Cleveland. I guess they ran right through them. But I thought Cleveland's defense was awesome.
I told you, and the computer, AI, had their best pick of the weekend, and it was the Browns. I'm like, all right, everyone, rest easy. The computers can't get us if they're still picking the Browns.
How can Tony Pollard run for 161 yards against a defense that has Myles Garrett and Carson Schlesinger and all like four All-Pros? This is insane.
The
computer was right, Maggie.
Can I do a stock up, stock down for the group and maybe for a poll question?
Sure.
Is Notre Dame stock up or stock down today? Because they obviously got snubbed by the committee and they're not in the college football playoffs. So you would think for all stock down. But this is more support than I've ever seen for Notre Dame since Rudy hit theaters.
I mean,
people feel bad for them. They're saying Notre Dame's not going to a bowl game. And then people are saying, oh, that's totally justified.
I mean, I'll give you stock up from Team Petty because I like the statement of not going to the bowl game. Whether it's short-sighted, costing you practices, whatever, I like having a hissy fit after yesterday, whether it was warranted or not. I'll give him points for that.
I'm so Team Petty.
Jake,
he's not listening. He's in school.
Texas should have canceled their entire schedule and put on high school teams after what they. Vanderbilt should never play anybody again. I'm all about Petty too, but no, Notre Dame couldn't be stacked downer than now. That's why.
But they're getting a lot of love, and I bet they're not only is college football playoffs going to expand next year, they're going to ratify this ridiculous thing that if Notre Dame is ranked in a certain number, then they 12. Automatically get in. Like, this is going to end up being, guys, play chess here, not checkers. This is going to end up being good for Notre Dame because people feel bad that they got hosed here.
Well, I mean, I hope with their schedule that they can get into a 16-team playoff without this bump. But this could be their year. This could be arguably the easiest year they're ever going to have. There's nobody in this field that scares Notre Dame at all. They've Jeremiah Love. He's going pro. I think this easily, they're looking at this year and be like, oh man, this stinks. Because because the quarterbacks are kind of off in this field. Like, Ohio State's got a, how old is Julian saying? There's just a weird field. I think the field is going to be much more competitive next year.
By the way, how does that thumb hurt your Julian Sain impersonation? You'd be okay with that?
What's my
can you play as Julian saying? You can do the same thing. Could you still run the Buckeye offense with nine fingers?
No, I mean, that you call that an offense, whatever they're doing? That was just, let's just wait till the playoffs start and then we'll pick it up.
I love this Vanderbilt non-conference that you're talking about. They didn't play any.
No, I know. They got to figure out a way. Yeah, they didn't play it. But they,
Charleston,
I would love
Southern, Virginia Tech, Georgia State, and Utah State.
Yeah, but what would this spread be if Vanderbilt was playing JMU or Tulane right now? They'd be double-digit favorites.
Anyone playing James. I'm sorry. Yeah. No disrespect to James Madison, but like any of the Power Fours are going to be favored.
I love Vanderbilt. I love Diego Pavia. Kind of stinks that he's not in this thing.
He'll be at the Heisman ceremony, though, this weekend, if that's any consolation.
Oh, right. No, it's great to see him in a ballroom. How would that be consolation?
Listen, we already got an extra year of Diego Pavia that we were never even supposed to get because he sued the NCAA to get another year of eligibility. Just be happy with the more Diego Pavia you got. By the way, he's going to end up on an NFL roster. I was trying to think what's the most Diego Pavia NFL roster, and I was thinking the Browns would probably be it.
He's going to make an NFL roster?
I bet he gets invited.
How tall is he?
I don't know. How tall is Bryce Young? Let's get to Bogish. What's up?
The Chiefs' AFC West dynasty is at least on pause for a year. 9 straight division titles, but not a 10th, thanks to last night's 2010 home loss to the Texans. Their wild card chances in KC down to 16%. Patrick Mahomes trying to be positive.
We got the talent. We got the heart, but we have to go out there and execute it. And until we prove it, we'll come away with losses. So, I mean, like I said, I know we're going to give everything we have. We'll give ourselves a chance.
Mahomes picked off 3 times on Sunday Night Football. Not all of them were his fault. And Rashee Rice dropped a pass on 4th down in the 4th quarter. The Texans going in the other direction, winners of 5 straight now. They squandered a 10-0 halftime lead, but then scored 10 in the 4th to get this W. C.J. Stroud's team sitting in a wild card spot for the first time this season.
Offensively, you know, we got to be better in the second half. But, you know, I thought, you know, we played hard. And, you know, in December, you want to get wins, you know, and that's all that really matters.
And this win has them 1 game behind the Jags in the South. They don't play each other again, but Houston does have 3 of its last 4 at home against the Cardinals, the Raiders, and the Colts, who will not have Daniel Jones after yesterday's apparent torn Achilles. The Commanders took a 31-0 beating from the Vikings yesterday. Jaden Daniels was back, lost a fumble, threw a pick, then aggravated his left elbow injury. Dan Quinn said post-game Daniels could have played in a closer game, but tight end Zach Ertz is out for good with a likely torn ACL from a nasty low hit.
That's hard, man. This guy is one hell of a competitor in every way. And, you know, to see the frustration and emotion with that, all of us are feeling that.
Ertz was in tears being carted from the field.
I think that's the kind of hit that warrants a suspension.
And ejection.
I know we talk about the head hits, and Perloff mentions it all the time on the show. Players, they'd rather get hit in the head than have what happened to them. What happened to Zach Ertz? Now, whether that's fair or the right way to think, who cares? Or maybe that's a different conversation. But he ruined this guy's career. I mean, his career is essentially over because of a hit that should not happen. There was no reason to go after his legs like that. And I think they got to start treating these lower extremity legal hits or dirty hits the same way they hit guys.
You get more trouble for spitting on somebody.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, well, his career, it may be over because of a hit that just was unnecessary.
But I mean, it ruined his career in the sense that, yeah, I assume, was Zach Ertz, did he was going to retire after this year anyway, and they weren't making the playoffs. I think he almost retired last year.
Yeah, maybe.
So it ruined the end of his career. But, you know, I agree with you. That's it. Players hate when you do that.
I think there were Ed Orgeron rumors or suggestions around the Tulane gig, but that's reportedly done. They are promoting passing game coordinator Will Hall to head coach. John Sumrall staying, though, with the Green Wave through the playoff. And Maggie, may I interest you in a drought buster?
It's poked at. It's grabbed by Wenberg. He's got it. Empty net. Can he get it by? He's dragged down to the ice, but he puts it in front of the net, and Celebrini scores! What an effort by Alex Wenberg. He was going to draw a penalty, but he got the puck back to his feet and fed it in front. And Macklin Celebrini puts the cherry on top of the sundae.
As we all knew so well, those San Jose Sharks hadn't won in Raleigh, North Carolina since February 4th of 2018. But Macklin Celebrini's empty netter gets them a 4-1 win on Hurricane Ice last night. So print your t-shirts.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't appreciate the troll job, because without the NHL, the year of the slump buster could actually have continued, but because the Panthers had the audacity to win back-to-back, it effectively ended Pearl the slump buster, whereas if Canada and Edmonton had won, it would have been...
All-time.
All-time.
I mean, and in like, baseball,
like Nordy,
too.
That's like Nordy complaining about the Texas A&M loss. That was early in the season. Early in the year.
Listen, baseball, like, I would have been so far out in front by the time the World Series came around. Like, I just would have been riding so high on hockey, because that would have been the spring. I would have had all summer to gloat. Selling merch.
Maybe it's a year back-to-back.
Feels late for
that.
Is that
what you get?
Ohio State?
Yeah, if Ohio State, who's the Vegas favorite, they could go.
You think your Eagles are winning the Super Bowl again?
Could be. I don't know. Now the Chiefs are out, all bets are off.
By the way, Macklin Celebrini has become one of those people who, like Clayton Kershaw and Matthew Stafford or like Ryan Fitzpatrick, every time you mention him, it's like, do you know his dad works for the Warriors? Yes, we do.
I have an important question for the group.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did we do Matt Campbell yet? When did that happen?
It's in the rundown, or it's in the floater section.
We're going to get today. To it.
I
he's
can't.
The new head coach of Penn State.
There's one segment left. So.
But that happened after the show on Friday, right?
Correct.
Yes,
after
yes.
the show.
That is. You mentioned the Tulane opening. I'm like, that is bananas. A Penn State salvaged Matt Campbell out of this whole thing, but we'll get to it, I guess. Yeah.
Kick save and a beauty to take a note from hockey.
Well, we could talk about whatever we want. I mean, there are no rules on that. But it is funny that Matt Campbell got completely overwhelmed by the entire college football playoff thing, that it feels like that was 2 months ago.
And it's possible that's the best hire of the cycle.
Yeah, I know.
And weirdly, Penn State, I feel like the athletic director should not get any credit for it, because he went to everyone under the sun until he went to Matt Campbell. And by the way, did you see the weird detail of this?
Is it $1 billion a year? Because that's what I would have asked for if I was Matt Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's Plan J. Guess what you're going to pay me, Packraft?
Actually, I got to ask Ryan Hickey, who's outside, if this is a true story or an internet rumor, but there was a rumor that... they actually did want to get in touch with Matt Campbell a lot earlier in the cycle.
And his phone was off?
No, they got in touch with an agent that no longer represents him. And that person was so bitter, they didn't even pass it along to the new agent or to Campbell.
That's amazing. And very realistic. That's like real world stuff right there.
But like, also, come on, Penn State. This makes me feel like it's fake. You really think you're getting ghosted? You get no response? That's impossible.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. Like, I don't know. New number.
Yeah, with Penn State, though, Maggie, maybe.
Good grief. Okay, lots more to do. We'll do the Penn State stuff and find out if that rumor was actually true or just something I got fooled by the internet. And we have the biggest takeaway from the college football playoff final rankings. Now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Next. Got a little bit of news. It's not so much breaking news. It looks like the Notre Dame athletic director, Pearl, is going to do a press conference tomorrow at noon. Now, Notre Dame got snubbed out of the college football playoff. Snubbed is maybe the wrong word. They were led to believe throughout the rankings each week that they were going to be ranked above Miami come hell or high water. That turned out not to be the case. Not because of anything that changed between Notre Dame and Miami, but because BYU lost the Big 12 championship game to Texas Tech. So that dropped them out of the spot that BYU was right nestled in between Notre Dame and Miami. Then they were back-to-back. Then the committee was like, well, now we have to honor the head-to-head. Meanwhile, they should have been honoring the head-to-head for weeks. But
that old situation.
Yeah, that old gag.
Yeah.
But so what do you think? And then Notre Dame said that they are not going to participate in the bowl game, which would have been the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, they're angry. By the way,
what do you think the press conference is? Sorry.
I don't know, but that guy is such a loser compared to Jack Swarbrick. I mean, Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame would have a bye. That guy, former AD, who was the king of keeping them out of a conference, he was very, very powerful.
Yep.
But then again, I feel like the SEC could have gotten more teams in, and their power is not as severe as I kind of thought it was. So I don't know. I think they'll go to 16, and I'm bummed because I love all this controversy. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, don't worry. We'll still get controversy even if it's
16. But if it's like Georgia Tech versus some Big 12 team, I'm like, no one's going to care like this.
Yeah, see, I think that the SEC has still asserted quite a bit of control here, and they have more teams than any other conference. They have five teams.
Yeah, but they're way better. I mean, look at the NFL draft's going to be 65% SEC.
No, I get it, but they've got the talent spread out, but here's the other part. They have the only conference champion loser who did not drop a spot. How do we not think that the SEC is not getting respected here? Alabama lost that game to Georgia, and they weren't even close in that game. Georgia controlled the game from moment one to triple zeros on the clock, and they didn't move an inch. They were at 9, and they stayed at 9, and now they're going to play Oklahoma in a rematch of a game that came down to the wire the first time Alabama lost.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at the situations where Ohio State dropped, or you could say Indiana rose because they won the title, BYU didn't belong here. I'm sorry. They have how old is their quarterback? 18? They would get destroyed by all those SEC teams. I don't even know. I thought they were overhyped the entire year. I understand what you're saying, but still, you look at the talent level. I mean, can you imagine if Texas got a hold of some of these schools the way Colin Simmons and the defense is playing right now? I just think that there could be, you know, it's just a very interesting situation to me. I think Greg Sankey and SEC, just be careful. Like, they could say, you know what, we don't really need it set up this way. We could do whatever we wanted. And is it the Big Ten makes more money than them, too? Like, there's something going on weird. I feel like all of college football is a complete state of flux right now. I feel like it's chaos. And by the way, which makes it entertaining.
That's kind of the thing with college football. Like, you got to like it. If you like order and you like things that, well, sometimes the NFL gives you more order, but sometimes silly things happen in the NFL. Like a below 500 team gets to host a playoff game, but that's generally as egregious as it gets.
Well, you get funny strength of schedules, but it's close enough where you can believe everything you're seeing.
It's generally decided on the field in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, it's much closer. I mean, if they went to a, say, just took the four big conferences, a group of 60, and came up with a new schedule, then you could have a more even strength of schedule. I think you really would have the 12 best teams. But I don't know if there's an appetite for that.
Think so either. I think there's a part of this that if you love college football, and this is not easy to say to a Notre Dame fan today, but if you love college football, you do love an element of chaos. You love it in the games, and you love it when it comes to deciding a national champion.
Right, but there'd be people would love it more if they had great games in September. I mean, people have said if you love college football, you don't need the 12-team playoff, and ratings have quadrupled. So, I mean, people love more, better teams playing better teams. So the group of 60 would work just fine as well. I think. I mean, if you had, can you imagine the matchups? Oh, it'd be fantastic. Now we have a lot of Sam Houston State and Akron. Anyway.
That's where we got to leave it. EJ Stewart, congrats to your Canes. Man, look how far you've come.
You guys better win now.
Yeah, seriously. You can't get smoked by A&M. Ray Jarvis, thank you so much for jumping on the board. Again, we say congratulations to Manny Rodriguez's brother. Had a baby, which is super exciting. Thank you, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's Coffee Drinkers, and Brett McMurphy. See you tomorrow.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.